Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host, Tom Haynes, and this week we're going to talk about the worst mistakes that you can make in your radar evals. Next week we'll talk about the worst mistakes that I've seen made in the non-radar evals, and with one whopper of a mistake. But this week, your radar evals. So, your radar evals, three runs, 66 points out of the possible 100 for the whole course. So, obviously, they are the three most important runs of your time at the academy. And you can pass or fail based on how you do on those runs. So we're going to talk about some of the more common errors and some of the errors you definitely want to stay away from. So generally, the grade sheet will be very similar to the one you've had for all your practice problems. And if you go from top to bottom on the errors on the grade sheet, ones at the top are the most expensive to you. The ones at the bottom are the least expensive, with the exception of the briefing at the end being worth 5 points. So, even though this first one, going from number five to number ones, number five is phraseology and strip marking errors. And even though it's a D error, which means it's about 2 points for every error, problem is, there's a lot of phraseology and a lot of strip marking. Not as much strip marking, but there's a lot of phraseology in all of the radar runs. Okay, so you have to be very careful to not give up too many of those two-pointers. You can have a dozen, two dozen phraseology errors. It really depends on the evaluator you get and how sticky they want to be. But every one of them is $2 or $2, 2 points. I say dollars and bucks because the 100 points was once described to me as a stack of 100 $1 bills. It looks like a lot. And when you take away two, it doesn't look like you've lost a whole lot. But if you keep taking away two, keep taking away two, keep taking away two, pretty soon your stack looks a lot worse than it did at the beginning. Okay, so I put it on here because don't give away cheap errors. And you can rack up a bunch of cheap errors. Okay, so watch your phraseology. Do the strip marking. It's very cut and dried. It's very black and white. You either did it or you didn't do it. You either said it right or you didn't say it right. That's why it's so important to practice prior to the evals. Practice the phraseology. Practice the strip marking. Okay? So, number four. When you have a red alert, most students will look for an altitude change first. Well, you may have an opportunity or a situation come up where you have red alerts with two aircraft that are at flight level 230. The one that's in your airspace that you can move is blocked by someone at flight level 220 right by them. And if you look at flight level 210, it creates another red alert. So you're running out of options. And sometimes that route change and sending him direct the next fix, not necessarily his destination, but the next fix, it will be enough to solve your original red alert without creating anything else. Okay, so when you have a red alert, look for route changes. Practice it in the problems leading up to your evals. If you're already at the evals, then use it as a last ditch effort, because you really don't want to be trying something in eval that you haven't tried in practice. Okay, so use the practice. You get a red alert in one of your practice problems, look for a root change. See if that takes care of it. It's not very time consuming to try, and it's well worth the effort, because there will be opportunities, there will be situations in your evals where it's the only way out. It's not just the best way out. It's not just the easiest way out. It may be your only solution. Okay, so get used to using that. So that's number four. Number three, can't tell you how many times I saw students or had students tell me about doing a Byerly departure without doing the point out before he got in the air. Okay, has to be done. It's part of the steps. Practice the steps on all these departures so that you can't do one without doing all the steps. Okay, and don't feel rushed. You have more time than you think you do. Do all the steps, one step at a time. Okay? It's a very easy thing to do, and it hurts when you miss it, because that's a separation error. Okay? So, Byerly departures, make sure you get the point out done. Okay. Number two. Late with a manual handoff. You are going to have some flight plans that you're going to have to put in during your radar evaluations. So that's why it's so important to practice the keyboard entries for putting in the flight plan. But one thing, when you get those manual handoffs to you, you have to find, don't look for, find the traffic that the FAA has for that aircraft. And just assume that there is traffic for him, because 99 times out of 100, there is traffic for him. Okay, it's easiest to find it while you're taking the handoff before you say radar contact. If you find the traffic there, then ask for him at a different altitude that solves it so that you don't have to worry about it later. If you don't see the traffic till after you say radar contact and give your initials, then get the flight plan into the computer as quickly as possible. Do a traffic scan before you start typing. Find the aircraft that he has traffic for. Okay, if you find it before you start typing, if he's still in the other controller's airspace, call them, get control to climbing or descending. Okay, take care of it. Once you get control of him, tell the R side, so-and-so, I accepted a handoff on aircraft call sign at the altitude going direct here. He's your control. Climb him to whatever altitude for traffic. Okay? Get it all done in one conversation with the R side. Get it done as soon as possible. Do not wait, because until you get that flight plan in the computer is not going to help you. The computer is not going to be able to look for traffic. You have to be the computer at that point and find the traffic. Don't just look for it, find it. I know that I talked in an episode a while ago, I know it was probably a couple months ago, about the difference between looking for traffic and finding traffic. And I'll put it to you again. If I told you that I had hidden $1 million somewhere on the grounds of the academy, and whoever finds it gets to keep it, are you going to look for it, or are you going to find it? Or are you just going to kind of look around and see if you can possibly see it? Or are you going to spend the better part of a day looking everywhere that you can to find it? That's the difference. And this job that you guys are trying for, is worth more than $1 million. So find the traffic. Find the traffic and get the $1 million. Once you've taken care of the traffic, get the flight plan in. Get the flight plan in. Leave the strip. Well, I don't think they'll let you keep the strip after you've entered the flight plan because you don't have a reason for it. But just understand that there is one more thing to do with that aircraft. You've taken the handoff. You've found the traffic. You put in the flight plan. I can guarantee you 100% you're going to have to do a manual handoff to the next facility. It's just going to happen. For some reason, that aircraft is not tracking in the system. That's why you had to take a handoff on him, and you're going to have to do the same thing with the next facility. So just be ready for it, okay? And realize that when your eyes get back to that aircraft and you see him fairly near the next facility, that is your brain telling you, make the handoff, okay? Do not ignore your brain. It's generally not a good idea to ignore your brain when it's telling you something anyway, but especially so in this case. If you ignore it, I guarantee you, your brain's going to say, I tried. And your eyes are not going to come back around to that aircraft until he is in that next sector or facility's airspace. I guarantee it. Cannot tell you how many times I saw this. And as an instructor, you can tell where the student is looking, what they're looking at, and you can pretty much tell what they're thinking. You've seen it enough times. It just, you know, it's all the same. You generally, students make the same mistakes, and you can tell what's coming up, what mistake's going to happen. So when your eyes tell you that, hey, that guy needs a handoff, that's the guy that I took the flight plan on, I'm betting he's going to need a handoff. When you see it, do it. Get it taken care of, because that's when you're supposed to. So get it taken care of. Get the manual handoff done to the next facility. Okay? It's a lot of work on that one airplane. And just realize that when you take that manual flight plan, the handoff on him, that there's going to be a lot done with that one airplane. And it's a lot of points that you get to keep because of that one airplane. Okay? Don't just look at it as points that you might lose. Look at it as points that you get to keep. Okay? So, that's number two. Now we'll go on to the big one. Missing point outs. The number one error made at the academy during the radar evals and during the radar practice problems for that matter. And it doesn't matter if it's point out to Houston Center or Fort Center. It doesn't matter if it's in-house to one of the sectors around you. They're just not made. In the 5 years that I was an instructor there, that had to be the biggest error. Now, when they started putting the P in the data block, when they started allowing you to, well, it first started when they started allowing you to do the PVD to the next sector or facility as soon as you had track control. That changed it. That reduced the number of missed point outs dramatically because you had the little reminder on your EDST or whatever they're calling it this year. So you had a reminder, and a lot fewer students started missing point outs. Then they added the P in the data block.
Oh my. You know, you would think students wouldn't miss pointouts with a P in the data block that they can see on radar. But I guarantee you, it still gets missed. And it still gets missed at a higher rate than any other major error. Now, you're probably going to make more phraseology errors than you're going to make separation errors. But this is the big one. Now, your separation errors are not normally going to be solving red alerts. They can be if you choose to solve the red alert looking at your EDST and not looking at the radar. I've seen students try and solve the red alert by going, hey, RSAT, to send so-and-so to flight level 220 or, you know, 210. Well, if they had looked on the radar, they would have seen that the guy at flight level 230 had someone at flight level 220 pretty much, you know, a mile or two away from him, opposite direction. So it's obviously going to be an error because the RSAT is just going to tell him what you told him to do. So he's going to descend him. And as soon as he starts to descend, boom, separation error. Okay? But that's normally not going to be the error that you make. And that's why I and several of the other leads and A-leads would tell you, we used to tell our students, when you're telling the RSAT something, talk to the data block on the radar. Be looking at it, talk to it. The R side will hear you. You don't have to be looking him in the eye to tell him something. And this will also work at your first facility. If you're working on the D side and you see something the R side needs to do, talk to the data block on the radar. Your R side will hear you. Okay? So, that takes care of all your red alerts, and I can guarantee you that the vast majority, high 90% of students are not missing red alerts. What you're missing are pointouts. And the one that really gets missed are pointouts to approach control. Because you still can't put a P up there. You can't PVD them to approach control. At least you couldn't while I was there. I don't think they're going to change that. Because it makes it too easy. So it's the ones to the approach controls that you really have to make sure you get. Now, when I was there, you could do a point out to the approach control if he was 15 miles from the confliction point. So you're talking about 17 and a half miles. When I was a lead, every single one of the aircraft that was being pointed out to an approach control was either doing 3 miles a minute or 5 miles a minute. And 15 miles, you can't really use your vector lines to figure out if he's within 15 miles. There is a way for you to do it though. Because your vector lines are 1 minute, 2 minute, 4 minutes, 8 minutes. And you need a 3 minute vector line. Well, that's simple. You have one. It's called the root key 3 space CID. 3 minute root line will tell you. On a guy that's going 5 miles a minute, it's 15 miles, 3 times 5. If he's a slow guy doing 3 miles a minute, do a 5 minute route. That gets you your 15 miles. That will let you know if you can point the guy out or not. Now, that was the rule when I was there. That was 3 years ago, 3+ years ago now. Can't be sure it's the same rule, but I'd be willing to bet that it is. Okay. So make sure you don't miss those pointouts. So here are some tools that you might be able to use. If you look, the guy's too far away to do a point up. I'm pretty sure they're going to have the blank strips for you to write notes on at the bottom of your strip bay. Or if they've taken the strip bay away, which they were thinking about it while I was there, they'll have something for you to write notes on. Write the call sign, write P/O, and put it in your hand. I don't care if it's a pad of paper they gave you. I don't care if it's a spiral notebook. Put it in your hand. You're not going to be able to do anything with that hand. You can't type. You can't do anything. And that's going to bug you. And it's going to bug you until you get that done. Okay? You can use that for when a sector wants an aircraft at a different altitude and the guy's not in your airspace yet. Write the guy's call sign and the altitude on one of the strips. Hold it in your hand. I saw a student do that. That's not an original. I saw a student do it. And after the run, I asked him why he did it. He said, well, I kept forgetting to tell the R side to change that guy's altitude. And I was like, that's brilliant. I will tell you that in a tower, we use strips all the time for runway crossings and things like that. At a busy airport, they will hold the strip in their hand while they're crossing. Just as a reminder. Okay? Use that. Because you may feel, well, it's awkward. I feel weird. It'll save you 16 points. Because that's how much missing that point out is going to cost. Okay? So, do not miss point outs. 16 points. I had a student that was going to fail by 5 points or 6 points because he missed a point out. We found out in talking that the remote had said point out approved. The student hadn't said point out at the beginning of the call. Well, the SOP at the time plainly stated that a point out was accomplished and considered done when the remote said aircraft call sign, point out approved. And it was very obvious that the remote had said aircraft call sign, point out approved. So it went from being a 16-point error to a 2-point phraseology error. And I know number 5 was don't make phraseology errors, but if you're going to make a phraseology error, make it instead of a separation error. Save yourself 14 points. Student passed. Went from having no career to being at a fairly busy center and making some good money by now. So, those are the most common errors that as an instructor, as a lead, an A lead, I heard from students in the radar evals. You'll have the Navy Blue Angels request a unrestricted climb off of Greenwood. Yeah. The correct answer on that, I wish I could give you an answer. But the correct answer will be anything from hold for release to flyable 230. And any altitude in between. So, that's one where you just have to scan, find the lowest guy, give him as high as you can, and be done with it. If it's 5,000, it's 5,000. If it's 1,5,000, it's 1,5,000. Find the lowest guy in your EDST that might be going near Greenwood or Sidon, and give the Navy Blue Angel 1,000 feet below him. Done. Okay? That's why I didn't list it. Oh, here's a bonus one. Don't ever, 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 never, ever, never, ever get control of an aircraft at level 240. You don't need control to descend it. The only time you would get control is if you need to turn him. They haven't put that into problems by the time I left. I doubt they've changed that. They may, just to keep you from being able to say never ever, get control at level 240. But if you are needing to descend him, if he wants to descend because of the ride or he just wants to start down, don't get control of him. Point him out to the sector that he is over. Point him out to the sector that he looks like he's in, but he's not. At level 240, he is not in sector 67. He is not in sector 12. He's in the high altitude sector above him. Those sectors don't know about him. You send them, don't send them a PVD. Separation error. Even if they say point out proved. Because you never sent the PVD, so the point out never happened. So that's a little bonus one, and that does happen a lot. So for those of you that are in the radar lab, best of luck. Again, what you guys are trying to do at the academy is something special. It takes a special person to get there. It takes a special person to get through it. But I do believe that each and every one of you can do it. Each one, every one of you can get through it. And from there, you get the joy of trying to be an aircraft controller at a real facility, working real airplanes. If you figure out that you made an error in your radar eval or even the non-radar eval, don't let it bother you. Keep going. So your high score just went from 100 to an 84. Don't let it drop to a 68. Okay? Hang in there. Run the best problem you can after that. And just keep going. Okay? So, best of luck to you that are going through it. If you need any help, you want any help, you can email me. Email will be in the episode notes. I'll answer each and every one of them. If you have more than one question, I'll answer each question you have. Because that's what I want to do. I want to help you guys get it through it. Help you get into what has to be the best occupation you could ever want to do, ever strive to do. And it's very worth everything you have to go through at the academy to get a chance to do it. Get a chance to be one of those people that no one in the country understands what you do. So hang in there, keep going. If you have questions, email me. And until next week, when we talk about some of the things that get done just about every time on the non-radar evals, I hope you guys have a good week. And we will talk to you again. Bye.